The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Kids, what's the matter with these kids today? Huh? Kids. Yes, the pilgrim of productive alternative broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio, the bard of broadcasting, the third man is here! Is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, the man who created the show, organizes the show, does the show, and stays here with you, whether someone else is here or not. It's just me and you. I'm a man of no titles, though people give me many. I'm here, your pal, on the broadcasting format, the theater of the internet web play cyber things. Come on, stay with me. It's gonna be good. It's usually good. Sometimes it's rotten, I don't know. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. I'll bet you there's a lot of people, I guess mostly men, although, you know, bordellos, well, okay. I don't know. I don't really know, to be honest with you. And I'm one of those guys who can say, I don't know. I don't know. Not one of those guys who gets in front of a mic and goes, I know, and here, I'm going to tell you, okay? Because you are not, I'm a pilgrim like you. I am not your mentor, master, or anything. My teacher, you know, we get from one another what we get from one another. And here we are on the weekend. Wasn't that a great show last week? If you heard it, if you didn't hear it, then you don't know and you have no opinion. Unless you're one of those people who know. Instead, I know, because I heard from someone else that that show was no good. No, it was. It was a happy birthday show. So there's, and boy, what a show tonight is going to keep going. I'm trying to right now Skype talk to Mr. Tom Savino, who will be on. I will be on his show. What's he saying? Do I need 5 minutes or so after my show to start yours? Nah. Well, I don't know. We're just going to go right on with it. I'm trying to coordinate this thing because Savino Veritas, as you might know, and you stations that are listening who are stations using this show, not live, but lifelike on your schedule can also take the show, which follows mine every week, live, Savino Veritas. And on the Savino Veritas show that we're going to have here, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to dead air. I told you, you know, we did one show here, Tom and I, who are responsible and admit to being the creators of this groundbreaking show from the 70s, and we're going to, it's now available to download. We'll tell you how to get it for nothing. We'll tell you what, all the fun you can have, or just discard it. You know, you could do whatever you want to do, because this is not, I don't know. Neither is Tom. We don't know. He's typing right now. I know he's there at another location where he'll be ready. Okay. That's what we'll do. And he will be there. And I will be there. Man, that's part of the old opening thing. You know, I say old opening thing because it'll be back. someone said to me the other day, no more collages at the beginning. We used to love that. And it's, people get used to certain formats. People get used to certain patterns and shows, things they do, right? Characters, I say. And they expect it, you know. And only when it changes do we collapse and go, oh, no. Because it's like a domino effect. You like something and it becomes a part of your life, whether it's a TV show or it's a book series, something that has regularity to it. And it comes at the same time every week or every day, whatever this particular thing might be. And we become used to it and it fits into our life. We enjoy it. We interact with it in our own way. And then all of a sudden, wham, it's gone. That means that's a threatening thing when that happens. Because it's a domino effect. It's like that particular solid domino falls. And we fear, you see, that other things that are constant in our life will fall. And you're saying right now, I thought you didn't know. And now you're telling us things you know. These are just suppositions. These are just ideas and thoughts that pass through my head. These are things that come from my deep in my subconscious and attack? No, they seep through the saloon doors that separate my unconscious and my consciousness. And my unconsciousness, my subconscious, and my consciousness. And you get it. That's what this show has always been about. Now, I'm warning you about the shows that attempt to suck you in by massaging you with your own thoughts. None of that. Don't listen to those shows. They're no good for you. Oh, I know what's good for you. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, wake up, it's night. And that could never mean more than it does when, as I was talking about last week's show, which was what? It was a show celebrating my birthday with some friends and some relatives. Friends and relatives. My sons were here, both of them. And that was the first time I think both of them have been on a show of mine. Separately, they've been on the show helping me out and interning, as I say, sub-hosting. An intern. They weren't learning anything. Although they were learning something, because Ray, my youngest son, of course, has a show on SRN Media Works on Friday. And even if you don't like harness racing, you will enjoy how Ray presents the subject and the topic. And that's what we hope. That's what I hope he's learned from me, no matter what the topic. And I got some topics that are really going to not. I don't know what they're going to do to you. I can't even forecast that. I don't know. I don't know. Everybody, I don't know. I don't know. I hope you didn't follow along, because that means you're not an individual. My name is Frank Cotullo, man. His name adjoins the title of the show. Before I get into any of the subjects I'm going to get into, and what are they? Well, if you were on the blog, and don't forget, CotulloChronicles.blogspot.com. And I said that twice. A while back, way while back, because this show's been on for like 34 years, I think, you know, or it feels like that. It's not 34 years. It just feels like 34 years. Ha ha. Old joke. Bing bang. And on with the show. I used to enter more things every day on that blog. And I've been thinking about doing something, making something a part of my everyday life, which would be a couple of paragraphs on that blog every day. And I, believe me, I have written books this way, my friends, and you are my friends, and you are my friends. So I'm thinking of doing that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this. You don't have to. You might not. You might not want to. You may hate me for asking you, but I want you to do this. I want you to keep watching Cotullo Chronicles .blogspot.com. That's the one that I always tell everybody to go over to find out what's happening on the show. And it links from the Facebook, my Facebook page, when a show, day before, 2 days before, promoting what's going to be on this show when it's live. And then again, lifelike. So you got to stay with all this stuff if you want to be with it, if you think so. And I want to remind you that, you know, if you do listen to this show and Either way, if you listen to it on other stations or you listen to it on this station live, well, at SRN Live, 148.ca/Frank, where I have my blog and another blog of mine. I know it's all over the place. If you do that, if you share your life's time 1 minute with me, I will be more grateful than all the people who made thousands of millions of dollars on things like Seinfeld and things like the Beverly Hillbillies and things like people in the Beverly Hillbillies. It's funny how people who remember Seinfeld, a lot of people don't remember the Beverly Hillbillies, but in any event, in all events, are you replenishing your precious? Oh, so anyway, thank you for all your attention. And not all. And if all your attention, if all of your attention is barely a minute that you're listening to me and giving that time in your life to me, I thank you. My mother thanks you. My father, well, okay, we're not going to do that because we're doing old school here. And there's not a lot of things going on other than even when I don't have a guest. I'm just talking. We're going to talk about stuff. We. I say we because that's just a general thing. Here's what we want you to do, too. It's the season that people give gifts. Now, all year long, I do commercials for my own material that is available on Amazon.com. It's available on Blurb.com. It's available at Lulu.com. L-U-L-U. Yes, you, not Lulu with an O. Be low if it was just one O. Lulu, two O's. But it's not. It's L-U-L-O, like Lulu. And people who remember Beverly Hillbillies will remember Lulu, the comic book, but not anyone else. Not you millenniums. Okay, as we go down the Hallelujah Trail, you're the most important people on the face of this earth right now. Let me tell you that, and I mean that. See opinions, okay? Not massaging. I'm not massaging the message that you already know. I'm hoping that there's some new things penetrating your cerebral. So here, it's time now. It's a good time to give gifts that are inexpensive and they have value. Here's what value defines. Here's how value is defined. Value is defined as something that is worth more than it appears to anyone. Okay. So if you love cars and you're a car person and someone says, you see this car here, it's worth $13,000. I'm going to give it to you for six. And you go, well, that is great. That's value. Cause a lot of other people will buy it for 13. I get it for six. Okay. That's on the cheap side, the downside. On the other side, something pays more than you expect it to. You know, you think it's like, well, geez, that should only pay me $3. Let's say your work. Geez, I'd do this job for $3. And then someone says, yeah, well, you know what we pay? We pay $11. And you go, wow, that is value. I work. It's value. And the books that are sold, especially the digital versions, digital virgins. Who are digital virgins? Is there a website? We're going to find that one out later too. Digital virgins. We got to look that one up. Let me write that down. Digital virgins. Because that's part of the, wait. I'm getting ahead of myself. But that happens because of the saloon doors. Okay. For gifts. Now, forget it. Everybody, forget about it. You know, mafia talk. Everyone I know, and I know myself very well, but I'm not one of them, and even I have a reasonable facsimile. Everyone I know has a smartphone, an iPhone, a phone, carry it around with them. And it's not just a phone. As you know, this contraption is a variety of functions and a focus of entertainment, education, and everything else that you could possibly get from the interweb. Apps give you stuff, calculating math. It does get you dates. It doesn't get you dates. You can check dates, whatever it is you need to know. Most people carry this around in their pockets, and they also read books on there. Now, unlike a lot of people, most of the books that I write, I try to capture someone's attention and keep it there for a little bit. I don't demand. I've written some very long books, okay, but the short ones, the things, little pieces of little drop drop kicks of entertainment that I give in literature. And you can get those, and they're cheap. They got value. They have value. And you give them to your friends. You get them a bunch. You know, if you want, let's put it this way. I'll even tell you about one of my books. If you go to blurb.com and you want to buy a hard copy, that is, you can hold it in your hand book copy of Molotov Memoirs, or the second book in the series, if there is a series, then that's more Molotov memoirs. You want to buy that, it's going to be expensive, because what Blurb is a drop ship. You know, they only produce the books as people order them. And I've noticed that most of the people ordering the hard copy books are people who I know happen to be wealthy, and they don't care about it. But to a regular person like you and I, because I'm not wealthy based on these books, I may be worth it. Go, Frank. Stay where you are. Now. Okay. But if you give someone three books, $2.99 each, what are you, nuts? What are you, drunk? $2.99 each. Three, four, and I don't think they charge a couple of cents or whatever it is for sending the link or whatever. My goodness. You bound to $10, you can give someone three books. I got a book on there worth $1.99. It's worth more than that, but it's okay. So my point is this. These are wonderful Christmas presents and holiday presents or Hanukkah presents or Christmas Eve presents or New Year's Eve presents or New Year's Day presents. Or if a birthday falls in there, you give them three books, one for their birthday, another one for the holiday, whatever holiday it might be. You can do that with all of the books, because even on Lulu, where the books are, you get the digital books. I think they're $1.99 or two. They're even cheaper there, those books, but Molotov Memoirs, and more Molotov Memoirs, which I can almost guarantee you provides dropkick entertainment. Pick it up, put it down. Open up anywhere. They're breaking all the rules here, okay? Anything you want. They're serious and they are funny. And you could enjoy them all. Or what? Let's say you don't. Well, Noelle, second, forget about you for a second. Let's talk about gifts. I almost guarantee you, I say the almost in there. There's my caveat. I almost guarantee that if you give any of the Francatolo books to your friends who have iPhones or Kindles or any other kind of machines, devices, I should say. They're not machines. Devices, digital devices, and they all can, because you could download the Kindle. It'll say Kindle on Amazon, and you can get the, I think the needle, I think there's a skip in the recording, but it's not a recording. You can get any one of them to your device, whatever the device, and read it. Okay? So it's not like you have to buy an extra thing. That didn't work. They tried to market things like that. We got these Kindle books, but you gotta have a Kindle reader. Bingo! There goes another $100, and now you can only get the books. And they said, that won't work, because the mentality of internet people, whether they're commercial or non-commercial, is share, value, and share. Share and value. So ever since Sonny died, value and share. There was Sonny and share, now there's value and share. No, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. The famous five words that put it right to you. So why don't you do this? Get those books for your friends, your family, and even your pets. You know, you would think it was a waste if you have a dog or a cat and you buy them one of those things, because then they just sit and look at it, right? They just look at your phone, and they'll look at the book. You know, who knows? Who really knows if dogs and cats can't read what we write in any language? We don't know that. Do we know that? They know their name. They may not know how to spell it. Look, I know this sounds ridiculous, and it is ridiculous, but what I want you to do is consider giving some of my books as gifts. You don't even have to wrap them. You save on wrapping, you save on postage, you save on everything. If it's a digital book, if you have a lot of money and you want to buy it, because the Molotov Memoirs, you know, even if you buy the digital, you get the fabulous, fantastic, magnificent, that's the best word, magnificent, awesome, awesome drawings of T. Stephen Gesick, who is having, I might add, if you're anywhere in the L.A. area, look him up or look into the L.A. Weekly or what have you, because there's going to be a, what is that called? A showing? I forgot what it's called. Painting's going to, I'm having a showing. A showing? A, he's going to have a, you know, a lot of his artwork's going to be on display. So find that. But he, his stuff is great, and it really made Molotov Memoirs a brand. And understandingly, I got myself stuck in that sentence. I'm very sorry. Wake up! It's night, and we go down the Hallelujah Trail. So I'm just telling you once and for all, not once and for all, because I'll be doing this, hopefully, in Y2K plus 17, too, telling you. In blurb, in Lulu, L-U-L-U, you get... you get the books written by me, Frank Atolo, and I take full responsibility for the content of these books and for everything inside of them. So if you just like them, I'm not going to go, oh, yeah, well, that guy gave me the idea, and then you go blame him. I take the blame. I take the responsibility. I take the applause. I take the credit. And I'm tired. You should see me. I'm poking myself, and that hurts. I'm not doing that anymore. So there you go. There's Amazon. Let's go through the books. Should we? License to Skill. That's the longest one there too. Sweet Shepherd. License to Skill is a comedy. Sweet Shepherd. Man of La Mancha. Man of La Mancha is kind of a blend of both of those. It's a humorous drama. Dramedy? Did they call comedy? What would be comedy? Dramedy? Comedy? Drama? Kadramedy, maybe. It's a calamity is what. No, it's wonderful. And, you know, you could find out because it's got good reviews. If you just go to the Amazon page of these books or you go to Frank Atolo Books, you'll see them. And you could read some of the reviews. I did not pay for those reviews, by the way. Do you know you could pay for reviews? And some people got these incredible reviews. It's because they paid the people. That I don't think that's right. I don't think that. Well, what's right anyway? I'm not telling you what's right or wrong. You figure it out. The point is you can get those books and you should. If not for yourself. You know what? Give yourself presents. I used to do that. I used to say, you know, this is my Christmas present. I want to get this. And nobody gives me Christmas presents, so I'll get I don't know. Whatever the case may be. I was young once, but now I'm young in heart. Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to me because I'm young at heart. So you do that for your vacation. Okay, that's enough of the commercial. We're going to move on because I got plenty of stuff to say. No, we're not going to move on right away. Because I am going to tell you again, stay tuned. Stay tuned after this show. Hopefully, if you're listening live, not lifelike. Lifelike means you're not listening on SRN1. You're listening to the show after it was live. So it's been recorded and other stations are using them, which is fine. I mean, whatever show is coming up on these other stations, stay tuned for that show, the show after mine. But if you're listening live, Tom Savino, my former, well, you'll find out a lot about it. You've been hearing it. They've been cackling about this in the internet and all the various, I don't know if it was all the various. Now I'm just making this stuff up as I go along. Point is, many people have been talking about the fact that this show called Dead Air, which was produced and written and it stars Tom Savino and myself from the 1970s, my friend, the 1970s, groundbreaking comedy. Tom and I together again, as you know, I helped him get back onto radio again. And here he is. Not here he is, like right now. He's not like beside me. What I'm saying is that on his show, which follows mine every week, Savino Veritas. That means in wine. Well, in Savino, there is truth. Okay. And he is he's wonderful because even when he does things that are message, political, or what have you, current stuff. He does a lot of it. He does it, and he's a hilarious person. Do you think when I was younger and just starting out in this business, if you call this a business, do you think that I would have hooked up with someone who was not intelligent, who was not funny? It's not going to happen, right? No. I hooked on. He hooked on. Magic was there. Chemistry was there. All the words that make a team wonderful doing what they do. Excuse me, I have to cough. You know, I have water. I do. I have a microphone, too. I have water. Gets very dry when it's cold. Anyway, listen, stay tuned here. And then we'll tell you where you can get the shows we're going to be talking about. And Tom is going to be playing pieces from them. We did this a couple of weeks. I don't even remember. We did this back in November on this show. And we had some trouble with the playing the stuff. Tom's situation is much more sophisticated than mine. Okay? And those stations, I am telling you, I'm asking you now, those stations who are now listening, I'm the program director, owner of the internet station that's listening right now, you could go to juicetalk.com and get Savino Veritas, and you could play it whenever, how many times you want. You could play it after my show as it works out here and there, and it, you get a wonderful 3 and something hours of show of free and great programming. I'm not just saying that. I mean it, because we did it. We created this junk. This junk and jive is alive because we created it on the interweb, on the interweb. Okay, so we're going to go into, so there goes the Christmas books. The little list that I do have, I'm crossing off. Christmas gift books. Bam, 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 bam. Savino, dead air. I said that too. I'm crossing, putting X's through there. You're listening to me, Frank Cotolo, and this is Cotolo Chronicles. And you know, this time of year, everyone is, everywhere you go, people are, you know, you hear the Christmas songs, you hear the same Christmas songs all the time. And I perform with my son Jack every month, once a month or so, at a local Pennsylvania coffee shop in Lingolstown, Pennsylvania, called St. Thomas Roasters. Great place. And it's got a great little stage, very intimate. We've been doing this, and at least I know I've been doing it for well over, almost close to 20 years. Did you hear what I just said? Well over, almost close to. I'm trying to get to that 20-year thing, but I don't want to say it because I feel young, but I'm not. It's like no matter how you put it or where you put it or how you take it away, this is the case. This is what happens. Well, anyway, why am I saying that? Because we play at this place and we have a lot of fun. And towards this time of year, some people want to hear Christmas songs. So we come up with a couple of them here and there. But there's a song that always meant this time of the year to me. And yet it was never meant to be a seasonal song or a seasonal piece. It's not even a song because it doesn't have lyrics. It might have lyrics and someone might have written them, but I never heard anybody sing them. So it's this composition that I always heard, and it's associated in my head as being when I was a kid with a certain TV show I'm not going to mention. The point is, this particular piece of music, which was used as a theme song, was well before TV in the 50s. And I don't care whether you listen to the Me Channel or the Ant Channel or the Wasp Channel. They're both, and Me and Ant are also what, well, Me is short for, what is Me short? For something, but Ant is short for antenna. You're listening to Antenna TV, you know, where 90% of the people you watch are dead. Hey, speaking of that, I want to also, wait, I got to promote this too right now. We got plenty of time, so I don't know what you're worried about, and I don't know if you're worried at all. But on the 29th, which is of December, the last Thursday of Y2K plus 16, once again, although all new, The Fabulous D, whose fabulous show, The Fabulous D Show, the artist Fabulous D, the artist, the F, it's fabulous, the FN Fabulous A, the FN Fabulous Artist, will be here on this show, and I will be, no, I'm not going to hit that anymore, because it's making all sorts of weird, in the scape, what is that called, the soundscape, they're not bubbles, the sound, those, okay. Roll call from the Bone Garden. The artist D and I have been doing this on the last Thursday of every year for as long as I can remember. Actually, I can remember even further back than when we did this. But I've been doing it. I don't remember, but it's been a long time. I decided to do it many years ago. People started to listen, and then they left and went home. But many of them came back the next year, even if they didn't come back in all the shows that were in between. Roll call from the Bone Garden. We being, in this case, not just me saying we, but the artist D, the FN Fabulous A artist, the FN Fabulous artist, and I, we'll be reading from a list of people who passed away this year. Now, obviously not celebrities, but not just, you know, singers and dancers and TV show and actors. And we're talking about people from all walks of life. Many of these you probably don't know. I know I don't know them. Scientists, authors who you might not know. You might not have heard of their books, even if they sold a billion copies. Excuse me, but That's my Italian wedding soup coming up on me. And I got that phrase. It's coming up on me because it didn't digest correctly. Is that the situation? But we'll be doing the roll call. So we'll be going from January 1st right to the end of the 29th. In fact, people will be dying to get on this list up until the last minute moment of the show. So be here for that. It starts at the crack of 9 o'clock. They just do the theme and we go right into it because a lot of people die and we are celebrating their lives by mentioning them, not just ones you know about, but you know, you forget after a while. There might be a bunch of celebrities, people you liked or what have you. Now also, and then we mention them, we talk a little bit about them, and some of us have personal, some of us, there's the us being the fabulous, the effing artist Fab, and I, the artist D and I have some personal experiences and some experiences with some of the people who have passed away. And lots of things you don't hear on these shows that just do these memorials. It's fine these shows do those memorials. Those are wonderful things, wonderful, loving things to do them. But we do one like no one else does. And we mention, if we miss anybody, those people are going to be people you're going to hear about everywhere. Well, we will be right in between the lines, roll call of those. And we're celebrating these people. We're not making fun of them. Believe me, this is not that. If you've heard the show before, that show, and then another year. Okay, that's the 29th. I said I wasn't going to do it. I did it just to see the I think as a clip. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe if you listen to it. I don't think so because the line didn't go into the red. Okay, fine. So that's going to happen. And we're going to hear that. Now, what I was saying before that is there's a piece, and even though I'm doing old school, I'm gonna play this track here, and I'm just gonna love it, and you're gonna love it too. This will take us right into the themes we're gonna talk about, and there's a bunch of stuff. This is the David Rose Orchestra, and this goes back to the 50s. The only thing about this particular piece that has anything to do with holiday season is the title, Holiday for Strings. Holiday for Strings. And of course it doesn't mean this holiday. It doesn't mean winter holiday. Of course it's not winter. If you live in Australia, you know, if you grew up, if you're born in Australia and you grow up in Australia, you don't know, you know, you see all these things with Santa Claus and snow and evergreens. You know, it's not because it's summer over there. Other parts of the world. Get used to the fact that the world is not surrounding you. It didn't know. The world is surrounding you, but it's not your, well, it is your world. Do you know what I'm talking about? But anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I'm going to play for you the particular, this is David Rose. I believe he even wrote it. It's called Holiday for Strings. This is a wonderful piece. I'll be here. I'm not going to turn the mic off. I will talk even as we do this. Love it. Oh, it's rare music playing here on Cotolo Chronicles. I can hum it. I've heard it so many times. You should know this. It's on your YouTube. Come on. Those are the strings. You hear it? I think they plucked a lot of those. Wow, it's great. Oh, the whole orchestra comes in. This is beautiful. I hear things like this, and I'm 8 again. Or I think maybe I'm 5. Who knows? Ah, da, da, da. Oh, I love it. You millenniums, listen to this. Oh, is it? Listen. Oh. It gets every flavor of orchestration into this piece. It's beautiful. And all these players, by the way, in this particular track, they're all dead, I think. I'll bet you. That's why you should do things while you're alive. I should write lyrics to that. I should make that a project. I'll write lyrics to this. Another thing I won't do. I just said it. Now it goes. Come on. Listen. Just listen. I'll drink to this. Oh, and then they did change the time and do it like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Beautiful 3/8 going on there. Oh, David, this is what you want to do, right? You'll be dead for like 80 years and people still know you and play your stuff. Oh, that's immortality. Each time I revisit something that I absolutely adore, whether it's a piece of music or a book or a play or a summer morning that looks, you know, that brings me back to youth, or that just, you know, defines the moment for me and makes me feel okay. And that moment when you're sick and then you're no longer sick and you feel better and you go, hey, being alive is good. So, every time I do that, I always find that when it subsides, like that is now over as I played it. And of course I could play it again all you want, but you know, all I want, but you know, you're not, I'm not going to do 2 hours of just playing it. And I say, and I, as a creator, as a person who's a writer, an artist, or whatever you want to call me, I wish I'd have done that. I wish that was mine. You know, which means, of course, as an artist, you say, just, I wish I had done that. Well, why didn't I create that particular thing, you know, just so beautiful, so wonderful, and it moves you to, you just cannot explain it, even though I'm trying to explain it right now. But every time that happens, I think that. And then I think, you know what? I couldn't. Someone else did it, and there's other people who do that kind of stuff, and it's wonderful. And then it's not that bad a thing that I didn't do it, because that's ego. The enjoyment of it, what it attributes to your spirituality and your being and your life and your existence, you know, is right there, okay? And you get it. And it's good enough. You don't have to be the one who did it. And of course, if you're not an artist, you don't write music, you don't do anything like that, and you do other stuff, you don't think like that. But holy Christmas, that is wonderful. Holiday for Strings. I don't know why that, I don't know why that has a wintry and holiday feeling to it. It doesn't just the title, but it's beautiful. David Rose and the orchestra. I think, we can look that up. I'm not going to annotate it now. I'm not going to go looking for it, but you can on your interweb, because you have the power, having the interweb, to do these things. So annotate that if you have a Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. And boy, you should have that, because you could, the things that pop up, you may find later on, oh my goodness, that's why I heard about it. You write it down, like Dr. Fablianek said. And even that, you don't know what I'm talking about, some of you, but most of you do. And if you don't, it doesn't matter, because you've got a life to lead, and I don't necessarily have to play a role in it. So that's what you do. David Rose and his orchestra, Holiday for strings. I thought I'd play that instead of Jingle Bells or any other, and then make you feel holiday-like, just for the existential awareness of, if you're in Australia, and they could be listening in Australia, even though it's morning, if you're listening to it, that also works when it's hot. So there you go. Any season at all, but it sure does that. If you don't know it, look it up, read about it, and do it. My name is Frank Atolo, a man whose name adorns the title of this show. I've done a lot right now to get you into the spirit, but there you go. Nowhere that was going to, there's no such thing as a transition, right? A transition? Is that what I was talking about? It's not a metamorphosis, because a metamorphosis, something turns into another thing. And that's not what we're doing here. Although you could say that, because what thing are we doing? Hey, speaking of, hold me, Christmas, speaking of Australia and speaking of finding out things and search engines and things like that, I'm going to tell you this Yahoo thing. When I first, did you hear about this Yahoo attack, this hack, the hacking job that went on? Holy golly, talk holy holiday and strings, whole holiday, four strings. Let's say that too. I'm going to say that now. I think I'm going to try to remember. I won't, but I would love to remember to say that. Holy holiday for strings. Batman. I wouldn't say Batman though, and because I wouldn't be talking to Batman. I would be, unless of course somebody fixed my clothes for me and put my clothes and stuff together, that would be my Batman, because that's what a Batman is defined as being, if you call the Batman. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Yahoo, which I don't even know if it's Australian anymore. It started in Australia, came up Australian. I don't know. It came down under up Australian. 1 billion. Who even thought there were 1 billion people that had Yahoo accounts? Well, apparently there are, were, and still may be more. Whatever they did when they attacked. And with the funny thing about this is, you know, you never know if this stuff is real right off the bat. When the news came over the mountain, when the news comes over the mountain, when the news came over and Yahoo itself alerted me and said, hey, fcatolo@yahoo.com, you might be in trouble unless you change your password. It took me a day, because I'm slow at things, and I just went through and said, you know, who's going to take my, I just took a chance. I rolled the dice. That's what I do. And so I have changed my password. So if you hackers are listening, and you might be listening because, you know, it's me, Frank Atolo. And, you know, you're not going to get anything from me because you can't get in. And if you get anything, you wouldn't get anything anyway, because I'm smart enough to, I got different passwords and secret words and everything for, I just keep a log. I write it down. Write this down. I write it down so I know. And most of them, even though I feel younger, but I'm getting older, I remember, which is good, for people who get older to have that memory. So this Yahoo thing was all, I am only saying it for this reason. Please, if you have a Yahoo account or any number of Yahoo accounts, go change your password and make sure it's not the same password as you have for anything else. Cause I know you probably have passwords up the kazoo, and, you know, the kazoo can only hold so many passwords. So you have to get the super kazoo and a mega kazoo. And then you got passwords all over the place, but it's true. They might not be looking for you, but you know, you get all these stupid things. And I've been getting this thing that's driving me nuts. I'm going to, I've been getting this thing from on my Outlook thing. And, I threw them all out so I don't have it. Who is this guy keeps sending me these things? Says, I want to, anyway, I'm not even going to give them that. The point is here. You get all these things. You're going to start getting things now, probably if you're a Yahoo person and you were hacked, and you're going to start getting things, you know, that says, you know, you should click this link and get $1 million or whatever, you know, and they're going to want to try to take over something else of yours or whatever and screw you up and screw your computer up, because that's what they do when they do it, they, for whatever reasons. And you have to fight them by protecting yourself. So do that. Okay. And always have your, but the Yahoo thing is what I'm saying. You know that, because I go all the way back to the first Nigerian mail scam, which we talked about when no one was talking about it. Since then, there are scams up the kazoo. That's right. The eternal kazoo, I think, it will never stop. There'll always be somebody who wants to disrupt something on your internet, on your interweb, because as many good things as it does, there are people out there who just want to use it to make other people miserable, because they make people miserable in their lives. They found one more way to make people miserable. So, don't You know, do all you can to thwart them. You like that? Thwart them. Also, you might want to go get your password changed on your Yahoo, and then look over your other stuff. And if you have the same password at Yahoo that you have in other apps or dApps or sites or places that you go to participate in or watch or look at or play with, whatever, change it. Change it now. That Yahoo hack was for real. It was the biggest hack of all time. When we say all time, we're talking about all time on the internet, because people didn't hack. They're probably hacking from the beginning. The people who, well, even before we had the Windows and stuff, because I remember I'm looking across the room when I had a Macintosh on the other side of this room, and I had one of those modems, you know, that, those things that made sounds like that. That's how I remember it. And we had the internet, and we didn't even have, we just had weird fonts. We got online with other people, and we got online, and it was weird. I mean, email was, it was weird because, you know, it didn't even, you had to read that stupid little font. Even then, that as they were building the internet, there were the people, the forces that were trying to knock it down. This is the way of the universe, all the galaxies and everything. It's never going to be one wonderful thing like a couple of friends of mine. I say that because they say, I know. The people who don't agree with me say they know. I don't know. But I do know that in my lifetime, there's always two forces, for and against, up, and there's always two directions, up and down, and to the left and right, and you know, there's always two involved. It's never just one, you know, there's sun, there's darkness, there's light, there's dark, you know, everything. There's always opposites. That's what the way it goes and the way it will go. So protect yourself and your personal interweb connection, which probably by now, if you're a millennial, especially by, you must have hundreds. Well, I mean, I don't have hundreds, but, and a lot of sites are gone. But if you were here as long as I've been here, you know how many sites you've left or didn't want to leave, but they left themselves because they went out of business or they wouldn't do it. Oh boy, I'm telling you, this has been a wonderful trip and I'd like to thank everyone. Good night. No, I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here. I'm just telling you that I'm a bag of energy on this Y2K plus 16, telling you all this stuff. And then having to hear Holiday for Strings just makes me crazy, crazy wonderful. I'm going to talk about the things that I mentioned I was going to talk about. And by doing that, then we're going to do something else. What are we going to do? We're going to do that other thing. I'm going to talk to you about two particular subjects that I found out on my interweb. Let me look. Oh, see, new tab. There's a new tab right there. What was I going to click in here? Something. Oh, yeah, my CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com. On the blog today or yesterday, we called this the Web Wonderland. That was our headline. Yes, we're going to play Search Roulette after I search. Now, I don't know if people play this. I guess you do if you use your interweb. And I don't know if it's net. I don't know. Actually, we can search the term search roulette because that's what you can do. It's like an old joke I wrote. It says he's getting old too. I Googled Yahoo and I got, I Googled Yahoo and I got Google and I, Yahoo. I went to Yahoo and Googled Google and got Yahoo, whatever. I don't even remember the old joke. That's how old it is. It's decaying. It's just turning to ashes. So. We're going to play Search Roulette after I talk about monkey brains and this particular entertainment, thing that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. And then we're going to play Search Roulette, which you may want to play when you're doing absolutely nothing. I remember the useless web. I did a whole 2 hours on the useless web and I still laugh. And once in a while, and when I take a break and I'm working. I don't work on the internet web. I do things on the interweb. I work. I write on the interweb, as you know, also, and I go to the useless web. It's absolutely useless. Every once in a while, the existential part of my life reminds me of the worthlessness, uselessness of it all, and I relax. And that's a good thing for you to do too, because everything is so important. Barry Gray, if I may mention a name, Barry Gray, I've told this story before, was a wonderful talk show host back in the days when talk shows just began. And it wasn't all just fat guys going rah, 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 like that guy and all the other guys. And there weren't any Alex Jones or you know, Sean Insanities and stuff. There weren't any of those guys. There were, they didn't have agendas. But the guy like Barry Gray, who had his own opinions and everything, he was on a station that I worked at many years ago, which I've mentioned before, WMCA in New York, which at one time was a talk show, talk radio show. Had a lot of talking guys on there. And, All right, so Barry Gray was on at night. As a matter of fact, Barry Gray was doing a talk show when that format of that station was rock and roll or top 40 or whatever they called it back then. I don't know what they call rock and roll. I guess they called it top 40. I don't know. Anyway, and Barry Gray was on his show, and he was a very busy guy in New York, and he spoke at various associations, and he did a show every night at 10 o'clock, and he did this, that, and the other thing. You know, he's constantly doing that and writing and doing whatever celebrities of intellectual art do at that. And then what happened? He was crossing the street. A car almost hit him, but he broke his leg in an accident he had on the city street. And the doctors put him, they put a cast on him, they said, you gotta rest and you gotta take it easy. You can't just get up even though you have a cast and now continue your life the way you were living it. And he thought everything was so damn important until he broke his leg. He got on the radio and he said, you know, everyone should stop once in a while and realize that everything they do can be important based on a certain existential way. And yet, if it's all gone, it's all gone, and nothing seems to change that much. You're just not that important. It's important to you, blah, blah, blah. Someone else may be affected here and there, but the life goes on. And he realized how much energy he was wasting in his life by going on all five cylinders. Is it five? We didn't learn that last week, too. He's running on all cylinders. I think it's five, the expression. Hold on, let's drink some water here. Replenish your precious bodily fluids. Because when it's cold, if it's cold where you are living right now, it's dry. Even when it snows, you know, you gotta drink your water, you know, dehydration is the enemy. So Barry Gray said, you know, you gotta take it easy. You gotta stop and look around. Alright, or else, you know, you're gonna get a nervous breakdown. It's gonna drive you nuts. You gotta take it easy. Even when you're doing the most, busiest and important things that you think are important at any given moment. Because, you know, it's going to all just fade or whatever. The point is, take a breath. Whatever you believe in, doesn't matter. You're here on Earth. You're living on Earth. Okay, so take a breath and just relax. So how many shows have we done about I don't care, I don't care? And things that are important, things that slip through your fingers, they're not going to kill you. And so you shouldn't be. Because this is a health tip. You know, it's just not good for you to be so nuts about everything, because everything's just going to go on anyway, and nothing has the impact that you think it might have, and nothing that has an impact that you think it has the impact for as long as you think you have it. So you think it too much. This is not necessarily an advertisement for meditation. I'm just saying, you know what I mean deep down inside. So why did I say that? I said that because I don't know why we got into that, but I was just saying that, you know, write stuff down, do something, think for yourself, take it easy. What am I looking for right now? I'm looking for that. Yes. I think it's called thing. Is it thing? What is it? It says Cotolo thing. Yes, here it is. CC thing. That's the way for some reason. Oh, Cotolo Chronicles thing. Eventually we're going to take only a couple of seconds. So you take a breath and maybe go get some water. And while I look for the particular item that I'm looking to find so that we can talk about that. We talked about the Yahoo thing. I didn't mention that in the blog, but that's what it is there. And then we're going to talk about the other stuff. You go like, what? Are you going to do a teaser before that? I could not. It doesn't matter. It says right here, yeah, the digital advances to assisting human health through monkey brains and digital entertainment subjects to assist human parody. Yeah, human parody. That's a real weird thing going on with Superman. Weird to me, maybe weird to you, maybe funny or not funny, but it's a wonderful thing. Very rare that I have a picture of myself, but there is half a face on in front of brick walls on the web. And keep watching that web. I may start, you know, you can go on this particular web page and you can look back at stuff from years ago. That's what's great about Blogger, which is now owned by Google. Yes, anyway, because you can get into it through your Google thing. What am I looking to find? I'm looking for that. Okay, I'm going to find this thing, and we're going to take a 2 minute. How long is it? 1 minute, 31 seconds, 1 minute, 34 seconds. For you to take a breath, get some water or what have you. And I got to look for this in, what is it called? Oh, boy. Got to find this in some way. Paralyzed monkeys. Paralyzed monkeys. I don't know if you've paralyzed monkeys. Oh, monies I put. Monkeys. People spell monkeys incorrectly a lot, you know. Search for the, search. Just what? See, if you go search paralyzed monkeys. And then, okay, there's that, and there's another one. Oh, wow, there's a couple of them, too. You know what? You listen to this and take a breath and go get some water, I don't care what you get, because every drink you get is mostly water. But, you know, so go get a drink so that as we go into the next hour, and then I'll still be here because I'm going on a Tom Savino, Savino Veritas. For most of you stations, I will be on that show following this. In the meantime, there's this.
The Dole of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Listening. Don't stop listening. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. It's not a program, it's a show. Because there's nothing programmed about it. We just do stuff and we talk and that's what we've done. But we've been doing it before anyone else is doing it. So once again, we applaud ourselves. We are the most interesting show on your interweb, cyberweb, internet, whatever you want to call it. Can you collect it on net? More people say net than say interweb or internet anymore. On your internet machine, which is a computer, I like to reduce everything right down to the crap. That's it, right down to the crap. My name is Frank Cotullo. You know all about the stuff that's happening with my books and everything. And we'll be back again. I'm not leaving. I'm just saying we'll be here again next week. That'll be the 22nd, I believe. And I don't know what we're doing then. You're going to have to check the CotulloChronicles.blogspot.com. And then, he said it four times, and then, I'm trying to see if the little, if I say the same thing, does it make the same design on the on the voiceoscope. I don't know what this is called, the graphic interpretation. So if I go, if I raise it, doesn't change. It's just a flat line. But if I go like this, it takes the breath in there too. I know you can't see this, but you might have one of these things at home and you could play with it. Do this at home if you want. This was fascinating. Monkeys on acid. And I don't mean orange juice. I don't mean that kind of acid. I'm talking about monkeys on LSD and paralyzed. The things they're doing with monkeys certainly may upset PETA and Paul and Mary and the other people who work at the animal place to save animals, make them, you know, make clothes for animals, and, you know, people dying in wars and kids underneath concrete and stuff. And, you know, you can only worry so much about a monkey. So they are doing incredible things. The monkeys have contributed, but listen, believe it. Forget about whether you believe in evolution or not. If you don't, I don't know what you're doing on the show anyway, but it could be. You could have a friend come over and say, listen to this guy, even though you don't believe in evolution. And even if you do, monkeys have contributed in the science and medical world just so much to the understanding of human behavior. And this is just one more piece of information on what they're doing and how they're experimenting with monkeys. Now, what kind of monkeys? Because there are different kind of monkeys. You know, a monkey's not an ape, and an ape's not a monkey. But the way along on the world keeps spinning round. <It's not so, laughs> I just, you know, songs come, they go, okay. Sydney Mallets did a film, and he did a bunch of stuff, and I think he's talking about the use of LSD in psychotherapy, which we know, or you should know, in the history of LSD, Lydus thesaurium acid or whatever it's called, that it was used first, and before it was illegal, and before it became a recreational drug. But this guy uses LSD. He's using it on monkeys to find out things. But here's what he wrote, and I quote him from the introduction to his movie. I don't even know what he does. Here. He says this. In the film, which I will now show, he says, I'm not showing it, whatever. There are two monkeys. He has a film. There are two monkeys who in Latin are macacus rhesus, if I'm saying it correctly. And believe me, my Latin is poor. I was never a altar boy, so I didn't even know Catholic Church Mass Latin. I didn't know much Latin. I do know some. Et tu spirit, 220, which when I was a kid, they used to say, I think that means I'm the world, I'm the Lord forever. But I always thought it sounded like a Latin phone number. That's right. You speak Latin? Yes. What's your phone number? Et tu spirit, 220. Call et tu spirit, 220. I digress, or I regress. Certainly no progress involved there. Sydney Mull says in a film that he's going to show, there are two monkeys, and I just told you that they're Latin monkeys. They've been receiving daily subcutaneous injections. Subcutaneous. I believe that's their injections. What's a subcutaneous? I don't even know that word. Anyway, of LSD. They got one something kilogram and gradually worked up to very high doses. In the first scene of this movie, one animal had received 240 kilograms, whatever that means. I don't know that. I don't really. And another monkey got 140. But anyway, they got different doses, but they're a lot. The equivalent of the maximum dose of LSD these animals received in a man weighing 70 kilograms would be 16,800 UGs. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry I did not research this. The point here is that they're getting a lot of acid. Okay, what happens? 20 minutes later, one of the monkeys is down, and the other one, though lying on top of the first monkey, isn't quite out yet. Out. Nah, you know, seemingly unconscious, down. This experiment has been repeated many times. They will be sacrificed sometime in the near future, and their brains will be examined. What's going on in their brains? I don't know. What is this home from the use of LSD and psychotherapy? That's not what he wants. So they're giving, my point here is that they're giving LSD to monkeys, and this goes back, these are going back to like 2000. I'm looking for the one that says laboratory technician with the LSD drugged a monkey. I'm looking for one that's recent. Critical past, but it's something how there's Google and there's no dates on these things. Acute effects of LSD on rhesus monkeys, not rhesus pieces, right? They don't give them rhesus pieces. They got rhesus LSD pieces. Operant test battery performance. I know what this means. I don't know what this stuff means. There's 15 related articles. Influence of naloxone on the LSD monkeys. They're doing all sorts of stuff here. The point is that they're doing all sorts of stuff with monkeys now, with LSD. For instance, here's another example. Blind monkeys. How do they know a monkey is blind? I guess they have tests. They show them, they go, you know, they can't show them, they're blind. Anyway, the effect of, I'm going to read from this abstract, which is a little science report. It's called an abstract. The effect of hallucinogenics on blind monkeys has been studied. Method: two blind monkeys, 7-year-old monkeys, were studied, and their behavior was relatively passive compared to monkeys that could see on LSD. And now, since the brain works in weird ways, I don't know, and I don't say anybody out there who's not a monkey listening, I don't say you should take acid. You shouldn't take LSD. Just don't. Okay, it's not good. It's talking about value. It's not worth it. It's much more craziness, and it's cheap. But okay, but the observational profile. What I'm saying is that if the monkey could see, how can you hallucinate? You must be saying. I know I'm saying this to myself. How could you hallucinate if you can't see? Well, you dream with your eyes closed, don't you? See, that's the way I look at it. Anyway, look at it. See. An observational profile was used that had previously been shown to distinguish the effects of hallucinogens from those of other drug types. Each animal was adapted to an observation cage situated in a sound and light attenuated chamber and monitored via infrared TV. Scores were kept by observers of 18 types of behavioral category. After several weeks of 1 hour a day adaptation sessions, the drug treatment program was started. The following drugs were given. Okay, saline, 2 separate sections. Okay, I don't know a lot of these. Colopromazine, and bromolysergic acid. That's it. So lysergic acid, dithylamide. Which is, that's SOL. Okay. And then, and a couple of, one monkey died after receiving 2 milligrams of amphetamine sulfate. So this drug was withdrawn from the program. Imagine that. That's speed. Okay. Which of course is given and prescribed these days for ADD, ADHD, and other words that spell things. If you have that. Anyway, so if you have a pet monkey, which I doubt you have, because I don't even think you can get a pet monkey in a regular civilized city, right? Can you? I don't think you can do that. There are laws against these things because they're dirty. And so once in a while, they'll rip their face off. Or is that an orangutan? Or is that a chimpanzee? Chimpanzee is not a monkey. Well, it's a monkey in the phylum of beasts. All right, let's move on here. We're talking about this. One monkey died after that, so the drug was withdrawn from the program. Behavior during 60 minutes post the drug injection was noted by 2 independent objective observers. All drugs were given in a random order. Results could be distinguished from saline by the increased frequency of bump, stereotype, tracking, locomotion, and exploration. Similar tests had previously been obtained in sighted monkeys. However, unlike the sighted monkeys, the blind ones exhibited increased vocalizations during hallucinogenic sessions. Wouldn't it be wonderful, this is me, not him, wouldn't it be wonderful to know what they were seeing? When they were singing, they were probably... it's kind of like that old thing about, you know, put 100 monkeys in a room with a with typewriters and eventually they'll write a Shakespeare play. Put 100 monkeys in a room with a couple of violins, right? Violins, not violence, violins. And what do you get? I think you'd get something like this. You get a... Look at the best part. Yeah, yeah, the monkeys. The monkeys, not the stupid four guys they put on TV. You're talking about monkeys on LSD. Give them enough time, and this is what happens. But you know what? Those monkeys that had the LSD, or the monkeys they talk about having Shakespeare, okay, that's enough. The monkeys that doing the Shakespeare aren't on LSD. So imagine that. Imagine where they go from there. I know, because I met, when he was alive, Timothy Leary. But that's another story altogether. And we do have other stories as the show continues through its run till God knows only when it ends. I don't know. So here, I can't believe this guy actually wrote the word whilst. Unbelievable in an abstract. And I got in trouble for it. That's another story. I told it before. Maybe I'll tell it again someday. The point here is that the blind monkeys increased vocalizations during hallucinogenic sessions. LSD caused one monkey to rub frenetically at his eye sockets while shaking. He wrote whilst. That's really weird, huh? He's a smart guy too. Okay. At his eye sockets while shaking his head to and fro like he was, he's rubbing his eyes and he can't see. He's blind, but he's rubbing his eyes. Maybe he has some kind of vision going on from the LSD. We don't know. So it says here, while shaking his head to and fro, and then he froze in a crouched posture similar to that observed in monkeys treated with pot, cannabis. Cannabis? It can. Yes, it can. Okay. The hallucinogens also produced dramatic increases in exploratory behaviors, usually seen in response to real visual or auditory stimuli. So although they don't detail that, they're saying that the LSD, dramatic increases in exploratory behavior. Now, that's a question. What is exploratory behavior in a monkey or anywhere? Then, well, they're saying exploratory behavior, which means that to me, even though he didn't write it, there's no detail there. To me, it means that they were suddenly inquisitive, looking around, feeling, using their other senses to just try to discover things. I guess, right? Wouldn't that be that? Yes. To try to discover things. I said that before. I'm saying it again. It's not an echo. I don't have an echo chamber. It's not a reverb because that reverb's not an echo. So monkeys are being looked at, they're being observed. You learn in journalism to just find the word and use it. Don't add words, add verbs, add adjectives. So the monkeys are being observed. In this case, they were blind. Now, what about monkeys that weren't blind, you say? Monkeys who can see. Let's go back to our search engine. We're not playing search roulette yet. I'm just looking at one particular subject. LSD monkey, Android apps on Google. Oh, that's it's a game. Tired of eating yellow bananas all day? Now you can eat colorful LSD bananas with your... it's unbelievable. How many apps are out there? They're countless. They're like the stars in the night sky. Talk to a scientist who gave LSD to cats. No. Look at this. There is... If you... I only thought we were going to talk about the monkeys because, here's what I learned. And then we'll go on to spiders on LSD, I swear. Spiders on acid. Here's what we learned from the original article that got us onto this. And that is that not paralyzed monkeys, but monkeys given LSD got courage. They didn't get. Got bad English. They were less fearful of anything. They received courage. They were more courageous. That's what I'm saying. Monkeys, let's reduce this sentence to where it's easier to understand, as I would do in my mind if I wrote it. Monkeys given LSD were courageous. they showed no signs of the kind of fear that a living being shows in a dire situation, or in any situation that produces fear. Fear can be produced, as I know it, maybe, I don't know, I'm not telling you, I'm not massaging your point of view. But fear comes from, I believe in any sense, down to the least common denominator, comes to lack of control. So if you're falling, it's a fearful thing. If you think about a massive change like death, or losing a friend to death, or a loved one, or a loved one leaving you, or anything that, you know, makes you anxious, loss of control, you're out of control. That's when fear really takes over. So monkeys, maybe monkeys show, well, monkeys can show fear. Let's say you give them, you train a monkey, let's say they trained a monkey that every afternoon or every day when the sun went down, they gave them three bananas. And they would say, if they didn't give them one day, if they did that to where that was the common thing, remember we talked about this in the beginning, when something is over and over and over again, and then, you know, when you lose it, the domino effect, and that you're going to lose other things, that's neurosis, it's fear. Reacting to something that is not going to happen is bad, that's going to happen, or anything that would give you fear. Reacting to something that you can be afraid of, that produces fear. When it's not there is neurosis. Of course, when it is there, then you just fearful. You just get afraid. You become afraid. You don't get afraid. Okay. So you become afraid. So what's the deal? Oh, so the monkeys show courage with LSD. They put the monkeys on LSD and they're incredible. They're just like, they don't show fear. Now, this is animals on drug experiment. I don't want to go there. I want to go to this one because I did not know this existed. Then I'm going to go to the other topic, and then we're going to do some search roulette. But if I could find it, animals on LSD. I just got to look at this thing that says spider on acid. Now this is a YouTube piece, and I don't know spider on LSD. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a minute and 19 and there's a picture. So this isn't going to work for you people unless you look up your own drug effects on spiders. I'll explain it to you. This probably normal, drug free. Here's what happens to the monkey in this particular picture, this video. I can't even see the monkey. Oh, it's a complete, absolute, it's stupid. All right, YouTube, you fooled me. You fooled me. It was not what I thought. Spider on acid. And it's a YouTube thing. Doesn't work. Acute effects on LSD. An operant test battery. I don't know. It just goes on and on here. But the ones on the bottom, which is searches related to LSD monkeys. Okay. Feeding hallucinogens to alligators. I don't know if that's YouTube. Elephants on LSD. Let's try this one. Yes. There's a real Tusco. Oh no. I didn't know this. You know what's great about this show for me? I learned things that I learned things I never knew. And some of them are very funny. For instance, and I think you should write this one down or tell them you learned this. If you don't know this already on Cthulhu Chronicles, my name is Frank Cthulhu. My name is the title of the show. Did you know that according to Wikipedia, and I don't know, I tell you when we did the fake news show, look for sources. I don't know if this is true, but I think it's hilarious if it's anywhere near the truth. Even if one elephant has this. Here it goes. A popular name given to elephants in captivity. Take a guess. You know, if someone said to me, here's a guess, and it wasn't multiple choice, I would say like Jumbo, because I was a very popular circus Jumbo the elephant. Not Dumbo. Dumbo was the one with the big ears. Dumbo was the one who could fly. That's Walt Disney. Jumbo is a great name, and I thought the most popular name, but it's not the most popular name. It's not the most. Now, I don't want to lie to you, because according to this, and it's only this, this and only this, I have no other sources. A popular name given to elephants in captivity is Tusco. It sounds like a clown. Tusco the elephant. Wow, I did not know that. And I know a lot about circuses because I've written about them and always wanted to be in them. That's why I know a lot about them. I don't know. It's one of those things. And now there's an Elephants on Acid YouTube, but I think from the bazaar to the download, down there, I don't know what that must be garbage. But this, Tusco the Elephant. Sounds like Tusco the Clown. Hey, if you put, if you paint the, what is that called? The thing, what is it? That's not the tusks of the things that they're killing the elephants to get the ivory. The tusks are not the nose, the snout, whatever. If you painted that red, what I'm saying is that you could put all this paint on an elephant's face, this clown paint, and you call him Tusco, the elephant clown. That would be a great circus attraction, right? I think, you know, and I know that might be, can that really be demeaning to an elephant? I mean, really, do you think the elephant is sitting there going, oh no, it's bad enough I'm in the circus and I have to walk around with this thing that someone's riding me and I have to go, and kneel down. It's, you know, tough enough. Now they paint my face like Roscoe, the clown. I don't even know if it's a Roscoe. Tweedles the clown. There's a lot of, you know, L-E-S, there's a lot of ending suffixes of words that make for clown names. L-E-S, Tweedles, Bubbles, right? And then there's Etz, Mike, no, but, and O. O is good. That's why Tusco works. Then you make a word. Cause there's no word named Tusco. There's no word Tusco. They don't go like, now that elephant species over there has a tusk. Okay, and that other, see the one that has that curl? That's a Tusco. It's not. You make it up. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, it's dry. You got to drink. Okay. This all started because of this recent stuff about I was just talking about the monkeys who are fearless. Give an LSD. A lot of them, it is reported that a lot of the monkeys given acid, lose their fear. They're not fearful. They don't become afraid. See? And LSD, like, even the cannabis and pot, of course, paranoia is one of the, most common, that anybody who takes hallucinogenics or even pot gets paranoid, which of course is an induced neurosis. Now I sound like one of these scientists, right?
Oh, so it's an induced neurosis.
Why do I always sound like when I do that old professor thing? Why do I fall into that? Scientists talk exactly the way I'm talking right now, only smarter. They do. So I don't know what that means. The 20 most bizarre experiments of all time. That's not what I'm looking for. Anyway, so Tusco the elephant. 1932, there was a Tusco. Wait. Let me see this here for a second. The meanest elephant. Oh, now, wait a second. This elephant was formerly known as Ned. Ned. Apparently, in 1932, they were naming elephants in captivity Ned. Big animal's short name. Images for Tusco the elephant. Hey, maybe we could do an entire show on Tusco. Apparently, this is an historic elephant in captivity. But I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm going to get into this other thing, which is... search roulette, and I'll show you how to play search roulette if you want to do it. You probably, it may be nothing new to many of you people because you're all so savvy when it comes to this web stuff, right? Savvy web stuff. What am I doing now? I'm doodling while I'm supposed to be talking. Talking, doodling. How do we get those words together? Docketing. I'm docking, dawkling, doodling while talking. We can make a new word. Submit it to the, if enough people say it, Oxford, the Oxford Dictionary. We'll make it the word, because every year more words are invited into the book, which makes them legitimate. But whilst is not one of them. Do not talk like, you would love Shakespeare all you want, but do not talk Old English to people. Ye should not. My name is Frank Atoll, man whose name and joins the title of the show. Don't forget this that I told you from the beginning of the show, which I'm, those of you listening, many of you people listening will be hearing me again on the show that follows me, the show run, organized, produced by Mr. Tom Savino, Savino Veritas. That'll be me, Frank Atoll, his former partner. And we will be playing pieces and talking pieces from a 1970 series and a comedy stuff called Dead Air. And you've been listening to it. If you listen to it, which you can get on your own too, we're going to give them out for free. These have been restored through the painstaking efforts of Mr. Tom Savino and another person whose name I forgot, who does a lot of that technical stuff, and Mr. Tom Savino. So they're a little gamey. The sound is a little gamey. You like how I use that word for sound? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. So we'll be talking about and playing you clips. So stick around, whether you're in the what time period, whatever time period. Time, it's not called a period. Time zone. Okay, Ned and Tusco. Ned and Tusco. Wow, that's like that's like a last name, Ned and Tusco. It's like Netanyahu. Netanyahu. Ned. Okay. Let me tell you this. I have a friend, and we've talked, you know, from the very beginning of this show. One of the things we talked about, and it came true, was the fact that the porno industry was going to thrive in the interweb in the beginning, in the internet. They didn't talk beginning of talking. And they did. Mainstream and internet, the pornography was mainstream by that time. And many other mainstream companies, media companies that did not embrace, is that a good word to use when I'm talking about the pornography? Did not embrace this new format of ours, here on the internet. But pornography and the people who do pornography who have already legitimized themselves said, hey, this is where we need to go. And they did. And they became very, very popular. And because they became very popular and they started making a lot of money, which they don't do make that kind of money anymore. Not the point. When this is not the history of it. But they still are out there and there are still companies and there are still websites you can go and download or see privately anything you want to see. I mean, a lot of things that you might want or not want to see or just want to see once to say you saw it or whatever the case might be. But lots of times they do parodies. And in the beginning they had to do parodies, but again, this is not the history of pornography. But parodies. There is, for instance, a Star Wars parody that is a pornographic movie that goes on for an hour and a half or whatever, okay? And they do, they take characters, and of course you're allowed to do this, and you're allowed to parody does not demand royalties. And these days, the atmosphere of royalties, nobody, very few people understand what it means anymore. Certainly Lawrence Lessig, who was on this show, the first show, Lawrence Lessig, who is the man who's tried to create the internet digital copyright laws or whatever. I say laws because there are no laws on the internet. But anyway, Lawrence Lessig, who became popular for that and did acknowledge, he so acknowledged the interweb as a growing place for artists and intellectual property, as they call it, that he was on my show, this show right here, Cthulhu Chronicles, is the first time he was on such a show. And back then there weren't even podcasts. Okay, and not snapping my own back about that. But the point is that parody does not demand royalty. And there's and that's not the song that Michael Jackson did with Paul McCartney. Parody and royalty. It's not that one. That was Ebony and Ivory. Two different Aries, parody. So recently, someone said to me, because they know I've known porn stars, people who have been in the industry and have done it and have been involved in producing the stuff over the years, going way back, I mean, to when. And we've had some porn stars on our show. Okay. So what am I talking about? Oh, the parody. Someone said to me, have you seen the gay Superman? And, of course, I said no, because I don't really, I don't, unless something is really fascinating about this particular item in this genre, do I look at it? All right? So I know nothing about this. No, I don't know. Now, remember, pornography is genre heavy. Genre heavy. Because, right? Because there's all sorts of different theaters of sex. If you consider, if you just look at sexual behavior as a circus, it's circus. Yeah, you know, before the circus itself, there's the fairway and you go and you see the, you know, the hairy lady and the person with two heads and the, you know, the man who has hair in his nostrils that's long enough to make and to weave into a basket. Something, you know, things like that. The, you know that, sex is like that. It's just all different genres and types and categories. I guess they call them categories. They don't call them genres in pornography. So there's, someone decided to make Superman. Now I've seen some Superman pornography in cartoon form, but not live. They never put a Superman guy with the uniform, you know, in the S. I don't know what they call him. You can call him Superman because, you know, it's allowed. It's a parody. This is obviously not Superman. We've been through this to the Supreme Court. Remember, if you don't got the goods on that history, go watch the movie called The People versus Larry Flint, and you'll understand how parody can use real names, real people, real characters, and it's so absurd, no one is meant to believe it. And of course, you can do it. Okay. Public figures. Certainly public figures, because that, they all have characteristics and what have you. And of course, characters, fictional characters, you could do it. We know that's done. Okay, so, there's Superman. Now, gay Superman, it kind of interrupts the original Superman theory that was given to me. I mean, again, we're looking at Superman without the idea of Superman, the character, without suspending any belief. So we believe there's a man who has all these powers they tell us about in the books, in the graphic novels, in the movies, but all coming from the comic books. But then, well, back when there was only a TV show and comic books, a friend of mine who I didn't grow up with this person, but he was one of the kids around, came up with something that was, because we all read comic books. And if you've heard this story before, just stick with me because I want to get to the strange idea. The strange parody and added element to the Superman legend. Is it a legend? Well, it kind of is a legend now because it started out as one mythical story and has developed into many other kinds. Okay, fine. So anyway, here's what we talked about. And this is what my friend Joey said to me. And granted, I'm 10, I'm 11, I'm 12. Okay. We're all into comic books at 8, 9, 10. At that time, they were really big and cheap. There was a lot of value in them for the entertainment. And he said that, and I'm not even going to imitate him because he had a real stupid kind of voice. So, you know, I'm just going to tell you that he said this to me. He said, Superman could never have children with a human. And of course, in the Superman comic, Superman and Lois Lane were, you know, they liked one another very much. And as time went on, they liked each other enough to do things, marry. I think in the span of the comic books, which went way further than I followed, because they're still out, but now they're $9.99 or something. I don't know. But he said back in the, remember, this is like 1962 I'm talking about. He says Superman could never have children with her. In fact, if he had sex with Lois Lane, he could kill her. And this, listen to how this guy thought. He did not suspend his belief into disbelief. It was suspending of disbelief. No, he did not suspend his belief in order to accept it. He read Superman and then realized there was something wrong with it if it were real, which is like, of course, there's tons wrong with it. I mean, the fact that he flies just like that, we just accept it. Okay, but he was not going to accept the fact that Superman was going to have sex with Lois Lane or anyone. In those days, all they thought about, of course, was that it would be a heterosexual relationship. They would not even insinuate that Superman had, because in those days, people would get, you know, beat up and thrown out and going to jail, whatever. So, he said that Superman could never have sex. Why? Why? And all the kids, I mean, well, smart kids, believe me, there were kids much smarter than Joey. Much smarter, who never came up with this, who never thought of this for a second, because they didn't look at it and compare it to reality. They just, as I did, they just suspended belief, right? Okay, he said, first of all, he said, and he explained this, and I'm sorry he didn't write a book about it, because it turns out to be, if you look at it this way, entirely true, and especially true now, that we're going to talk about making Superman into a homosexual. So it means they had homosexuals on Krypton, I guess. But anyway, so Joey said Superman could never have sex. First of all, he's the Man of Steel. We see Superman. You can imagine this kid. If I imitate him, if they talk like that, you know, you get a better idea of how crystal clear his critical thinking of this fictional world turned out to be when he's talking like a kid on the street who's a real Dumbo. He's a Tusco, a Dumbo, a Ned. Okay, so he goes, Superman could never have sex because, first of all, he's the Man of Steel. We see that no matter what happens, it bounces off of him because he's made of whatever he's made of. We know whatever he's made of is a bad sentence. Whatever composition of that man from Krypton, aside from Kryptonite, which is the only thing that could kill him, they bounce off, airplanes would bounce off of his head because he's so hard. And they call him on Earth the Man of Steel. Well, I got news for you. It's really should be the Man of destroyable steel, because there's nothing you can do to Superman, okay? Well, this means that there's a certain hardness, stiffness to this man. There's a certain quality, okay, that makes him extremely strong, and we know he's strong. He picks up cars, he throws cars, right? He's got in his composition, this mythical composition, kind of like us in a way, right? Only he's stronger. So, because he looks like us, and he's, you know. So Joey says that because Superman is so, can repel all of these incredibly tough, he's gotta be harder than them. He's got to be, his composition of his body and his items or whatever's going on in there has to be stronger than that. And you know, he's got this supervision. You know what comes out of his eyes? You know, the heat? Joe even said, you know, he does that with his, he's got x-ray eyes. And when he looks at something, he could squint and then he could burn it with the rays that come out of his eyes. This guy is powerful. He's mighty. And what's going to happen, said Joey, when he puts his penis inside of a woman who's a human and he wants to have a baby? What's going to happen, in other words, says Joey, when Superman ejaculates inside of a human woman? He said, you see? And, you know, and then what he did by saying that was we all suddenly thought that way and went, oh my goodness. It would be so powerful. A Superman, the Superman that they created, if we add to it the fact that he ejaculated, they never showed that in the comic books, did they? No, but he loved Lois Lane, he wanted Lois Lane, and he wanted to have children. In one of the movies, it's called Superman Returns, and this doesn't go back to the 60s of the, you know, this goes, right? Superman Returns, and we find out that Lois Lane is married and she has a kid, and we find out that kid is really Superman's. How did that happen? Because according to Joey, it couldn't happen. Because if he ejaculated, where he's supposed to do that in order to have a baby, which is a human way of doing it. We can, you know, they never explained that people in Kryptonite do it differently or what have you. All right. So if he did that, it would go right through her. It would be like shooting a buckskin. Listen to me. A shotgun. It would be like putting a shotgun and just blow, because it would go right through her. And she would die. In other words, this would be fatal. Having Superman, this is what Joey was saying, and he's what? 13, 12? He's 12, I think, at this point. 11 or 12. And he's saying, so Superman could never have sex with Lois Lane or any other human woman because he would kill her. And it made comic book sense. It made some kind of sense. Because what it demanded, if he had a child with a human, okay, and aside from the fact that, you know, species, we know, can't have children with or offspring with other species. You know, an elephant can't have sex with a giraffe and have a giraffe a Fanta. You know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't stink. But still, the point of this is so true that it's wickedly funny and incredible. And it changed my life to every time I saw Superman. And certainly, you know, at that age, 12, 13, you're starting boys, especially boys in New York. I don't know anywhere else. Boys are starting to be recognize sex and understand it. And it's puberty, the stuff that's going on, the hormones, whatever's going on is getting rampant. So this sticks with you, so to speak, that Superman's ejaculation is, I'm still laughing at this, but it's, you know, it's lethal inside of, you know, I mean, if it was his own species, it would be able to go in there and not go through because he's not super to his own species. Okay. So Joey said that. Now, that was with me all my life, and I've even talked about that here because I've talked about Joey. If he's dead, may he rest in peace. If he's not, and I know he's not listening, or who the heck might be. And this is not Joey Federico, whose name I gave you, who's the man with the strongest skull in the world, that when he was only 9 or 8. That's not that guy. It's another Joey. A lot of Joeys, by the way. So, in fact, it's my middle name. It's one of my, I have two middle names. Joseph is one of them. Okay, very popular name. So, look, here is the deal. So, someone told me recently about the gay Superman porno. And we might not even get a chance to play search roulette, but I could explain it to you. But anyway, let's talk about this for a second. There is, and I don't know where you find it, because a friend of mine just gave me a link and gave me some to show me some, and I watched it. And there is... and I'm thinking, okay, so now, it's gonna be the same thing. Superman, now of course, you know, he may not, imagine oral sex, either way. So it's gonna be the same thing if there's a gay Superman, but it's not gonna be in the parody. In the parody, they're not going to show, In the homosexual parody, they're not going to show that Superman's ejaculation is lethal. And I didn't even talk. I was just talking about when he wanted to have, if he wanted to have a baby with a female human. If he just wants to have, but if he just wanted to have sex with a female woman, he could, female woman, where did that come from? A human female, he could kill her too. Oral sex would kill her, right? I mean, based on that, but that criteria, because Superman's faster than a speeding bullet, my ass, this guy, and that's what, it would have been so much funnier, is what I'm saying, is if when they did the gay porno, someone else had thought like Joey, and did this as an incredible, it would be an incredible parody, it would be so funny if someone had thought about that and said, let's do Superman, but let's make him, as opposed to just making him gay, let's make him make this, you know, because, and let's bring to the table, as they say, let's bring to the table the characteristic that his ejaculations are as powerful as his X-ray eyes, which they should be. Why would it be any different? That particular, why? I mean, Joey has been right all along. We have to, now of course, that is allowing the fact that he ejaculated. Well, why shouldn't he, though? That's the point. You don't have to suspend belief that much. If everything he does has that super effect, then, man, you know, he's going to just, he's going to kill. And of course, they never got into that. But speaking of getting into it, all right, no jokes about that. I'm just saying that if you start looking, next time you see, next time you see it, I don't know, look for it. Or if I find it again, I'll ask my friend, we'll put a link on controlochronicles.blogspot, and you can go and see this. But it's not, and then you have to imagine, okay, that Superman has that particular, that his ejaculations are as super as everything else he does. And then you see them being lethal, and you know why he could never, then you'll laugh. You'll laugh your head off. You'll laugh. Yeah, again, you know, anything I say is going to sound like a bad joke. It was gay porn. I laughed my head off. I laughed my ass off. You know what I mean? So there's that. Now, the thing that, I don't know where that might have been. I don't even remember how I was playing Search for Roulette, because I was somewhere, and looked up something, and I got, as results, I got, oh, I know, I think it was Yahoo. Let me go to Yahoo. How about that? How about that gay Superman, huh? They should have done that. They should have done that. And I'm telling you, that would have been a tremendous success. You know, in fact, it doesn't even have to be hardcore porn. Someone should do a Superman. You know, maybe he starts off and thinks like, well, I'm killing the women I'm having, that have sex with me. Maybe if I try, maybe the men won't, but it'd be more sloppier. More sloppier? More? Why don't I add more to that sentence? But even sloppier. The idea of, I'm going to go to Yahoo, because I think that's where, I think that's where this particular form came out. Look at all these things. Unbelievable. All the commercial the commercial presence on these websites is amazing. So what am I saying? Superman. You just think of any topic at all. This is how you play Search Roulette. When you got nothing to do, here's what you do. Search Yahoo. You go to Yahoo, because let me make sure this works. Let me just look up Superman. Okay? And I put the name Superman in the search engine, and what comes up? Okay, it's just a list. I wonder where is that particular, I don't remember. It wasn't on, there was a list and it had little thumbnails of the, and you know how a thumbnail moves if it's a YouTube? Maybe it was on YouTube. No, it wasn't on YouTube either. Now I've forgotten. Here's what you do when it comes to playing Search Roulette. Now, of course, we all know that you search for, and I search for, various things that you want to know about and read about or what have you, and so you go to your search engine. Here's how you play Search Roulette. You go to your search engine and just put in anything. Put in any phrase. So let's put in a phrase that wouldn't be here. How about Superman? I'm going to put in Superman bananas. Right? Now, it is Superman bananas at Yahoo. I guess you could do it anywhere. And here's what I get. Try Superman bananas workout. Did you know that all of a sudden, there's a Superman bananas workout. It's a gym thing. Right? It's gym. Here it is. Superman bananas. P9OX on YouTube. Move of the day is Superman banana. So there's a move that you do when you're doing, exercises. And Superman and banana. Superman banana pictures. Images. How to Be Domestic Goddess, Superman, Banana, Lego Superheroes, Gorilla Grodd Goes Bananas, Banana Man, Superman, Headwear, Superman stuff, and then it goes, also try Superman Bananas Workout, okay? So there, did you have any idea of that? You learned one thing right there. Let's look at something even more esoteric. How about this? Native machines. Wait, native? It's just two words. You know what? An adjective and a native machines. Look at this. Here it is. Native machine. Yeah. Free shopping, free shipping and tech support at a place called, it's a sweetwater.com. It's called Native Machine at Amazon. Free shipping. There's something, I just made this up in my head. Native Machine is a product. Native Machine. Find our lowest possible prices if you want to buy a Native Machine. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't know the term meant anything. This is fun. This just waste a little time here and there while you're waiting for the gay Superman link. So look at Native Instruments. Oh, then it goes Native Instruments. Machine. M-A-S Machine. Native Amazon. Native Instruments Machine. Look at this. Tutorials. Unbelievable. To me, this isn't, it's not unbelievable. This is the complexity and this is the vast halls of things, hall of things that is the internet. Okay? Butter, let's use the word butter. Here, butter, let's put in butter monuments. How about that? Butter monuments. Now look at this. What comes up? Monuments for graves, monuments in D.C., monuments, headstones. I put in butter monuments and hit, and look at this. There's, see, home, butter, okay, butternutmonuments.com. There's a website. I just made this up. This, I'm playing search roulette here, okay? And it says buttermonuments.com. Welcome to Butternut Monuments. It's a family-owned monument, marker, and memorial dealer to Central New York. Monuments made of butter. I made this up. I created this right now out of the clear blue sky. Me, Frank Atola. So this is a dumb thing to do. I realize that. But like the useless web, this is also useless. But, you know, you never know what you're going to run into here, and you just do it until you don't want to do it anymore, and you go, that's it, I'm done. I'm finished. Now I'm going to do something else. So, like, when you look up, and if you do look up something, it may lead you to something else, which leads you to something else, which just gets so far away from the original idea, if you want to do it. If I put in, I don't know what happens if I put in gay Superman. I probably just get Superman. But you might, see, so you could do that. I put in gay Superman porno. Gay Superman porno. No, porno. Got to spell. Doesn't say anything right now. I hit that. Here. Free gay porn movies. Gay Superman. This is it right here. Look, gay Superman. It's free gay porn movies and two videos online every day at gaysuperman.com. Hello, I did not know this when he told me, but I'm not getting money from them or anything. But I'm telling you, this works. And if you know how when you're looking for something, you don't know exactly what to look for. When you really want to do something and not just, you know, be useless with this stuff, and you look for something and you go, you just make up what is or what have you. Just put in a phrase that has anything to do with what we are talking about. You get it. Now I can't, look at this. It doesn't have a link. It says www.gaysuperman.com, but I have to touch this one. I have to hit this. I just hit it. And now I'm going to a website. And now here's the deal. This is not, I don't see Superman anywhere. It's gaysuperman.com. It's a porn site. I don't know if they have the character Gay Superman, but we do know there's a porn site called Gay. Wait a second. It says, wait a second. No, I'm not waiting for anything. I'm going to turn this off because I think all sorts of crazy. My Norton is going nuts. My Norton is going, hey, You know, because the most problem with these porn sites is that the things, there are, you know, viruses attached to them and everything, which is, I know there's a kind of a metaphor in there too, but I'm not talking about that. My name is Frank Atola, man, his name is on the title of the show, and it was getting ready. Anyway, that's that, and that's the, you think about the Superman, the Joey from Brooklyn Superman theory, I guess we'll call it, or what have you. And, you know, I don't know what will happen to you. But I just thought that was fascinating. And the fact that there is, and it could have been good. It could have been really, it could have been really original if somebody had done that, but they didn't. Has anyone out there ever seen the Toxic Avenger series? There's a couple of movies. The Toxic Avenger. The guy who's he's turned into a monster from falling into nuclear toxic material, toxic, I don't know, whatever. These movies. With, you know, creative, cheap, creative, and funny. And those are three adjectives been used for me, Frank Atola, and this show, Atola Chronicles, over the years. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, if you're leaving, for most of you stations, I would like to think that all of you stations, don't forget you other stations who are playing this on a replay. You can get at juicedtalk.com the Savino Veritas shows and broadcast them. And for those of you who are listening to this show now, if you're listening live now, and I'm saying that now, but if you're listening lifelike, which is not now, it's your now, then... You are getting really philosophically, existentially nuts. You can listen to Savino Veritas coming up and a lot about Dead Air, which you might not know about, especially if you're a millennial, because you weren't even around. You weren't even, they used to say like, you know, guys, old guys, when I was young, said, I got ties older than you. And they used to say like, back then, what I'm talking about, you were just a twinkle in your dad's eye. A twinkle in my dad's eye, but apparently my dad was not Superman. So that is that anyway. But we're going to have many good times. Don't forget Roll Call for the Bone Garden. That's in 2 weeks. And what's coming up is, I guess there's 2 more weeks. Tom Savino and Savino Veritas on most of these stations and me and Dead Air and stuff that's going to happen, shortly. So stay with us. And, have you learned now to play search? And you might want to search for the stuff about the monkeys and the LSD. That's fascinating stuff in the first place. In the second place. But, it's also fun. And go buy the books for your, friends, family, and the friends' pets and everything for your presents. My books. Frank Atola on Amazon. Lulu.com. There's so many things. And, what's the other one? Oh, blurb.com. There are so many things I could possibly say and talk about in that effect, but I'm going to move on right now. Okay, you got it. You got it. You had it. You did it. More things next week as we bring it all up to the end of this year. In the meantime, in between time, my name is Frank Atola. Man's name is the title of the show. Go do what you got to do. I hope most of you stations keep listening. Stations. You people. It's been fun again. Old school Atola Chronicles were Thursday live on SRN Media Works and lifelike on many other stations. Good night, Mrs. Earthswire, wherever you may be located. We're here. We're here for you. There's just tons of stuff going on. Stay with me. I'll leave you now, because on another station I'm going to talk, but right now I got nothing, not a station, another show I'm going to talk, but right now I have nothing more to say.